Go ahead and keep that hand clap of praise unto the Lord tonight. I don't know about you, but I know it's Tuesday night, but I've come to praise the Lord tonight. Whatever my situation, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Whatever the doctor says, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Whatever diagnosis I get, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Whatever my family's going through, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Whatever my finances is going through, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Whatever battles I got going on, I'm going to call on the name of the Lord. Clap your hands if you're glad for the name tonight. I promise I won't try to keep you long tonight, but I do feel that I got a word from God for somebody that's in this place tonight. I want to take a few moments, and I believe that I have a powerful message, and I believe there are not just going to be one or two, but I believe there's going to be multiple people leave differently than the way that they actually came tonight. I don't know about you tonight, but I came with a purpose and I came with an expectation from the Lord that we're going to leave differently than the way that we came. I came with a purpose and an expectation that we're going to leave with a new outlook on a few different things tonight. I came with a purpose tonight, and I have the microphone, so I've got you for about the next 2 hours. Unless you get behind me and help me preach, you may have me for 1 hour. But before we get into the word tonight, I'd like to take this moment to thank Pastor and First Lady for everything that they do for this church, their leadership, their guidance, their love, their compassion, everything that they do. I want to thank my beautiful family for always sticking next to me when things get hard and always loving me when we're always on the mountaintop. Before we get into the word tonight, I'd like for those that I've asked to help pass out a piece of paper to each person, if they would go ahead and pass those out. As they're passing those out, I want to take just a few moments to explain what you are being handed tonight. And I promise it's not a $100 bill. But it's something that I believe that if we're going to take this and we're going to use it for a purpose, I believe things are going to change. The paper that's being passed out to you, if you take notes during preaching and have a pen, bless your heart, you're an overachiever. But if you're more than welcome to fill these out now, but if you do not have a pen, that's okay. Don't be afraid. We'll be taking these with you tonight when we leave this service. But I do ask that you do one thing for me, and I ask that you do just a little bit of thinking. This piece of paper that's being handed out to you is going to be for something or someone that you think it is impossible for God to move in a situation. That prayer that you have been praying, whether for a lost soul or whether for a marriage, whether it be for a diagnosis that the doctor gave you, whether it's a situation you're going through, if it seems to be impossible, I want you to brainstorm tonight that impossible prayer that you don't see coming to pass. This can be a prayer that you have already been praying, or it can be a prayer that you have been scared to pray because you are worried God wouldn't hear it. I want you to take this paper and write that down if you have a pen, but if you don't have a pen, start thinking about that prayer. But before we get into reading tonight's text, I believe someone needs to know that there is a soul hanging in the balance. The balance of heaven or hell. The kingdoms of the world or the kingdoms of heaven. Which way is this soul going to land tonight? Somebody's got to let a burden sit on you tonight for a soul that is not sitting next to you in this place. So if you're able, stand with me. We're going to go to the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter. We're going to be reading from verse 31 through 36. Shout amen when you get there. As Brother Caleb says, if you're looking at the screen, say I'm a cheater. Maybe, if they're going to get the words on there. If not, that's all right. We're going to read it anyway. Genesis 37 and 31. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Now know whether it be thy son's coat or no." And he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days." Somebody say, "Thus his father wept for him. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. And he said, 'For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning.' Thus his father wept for him." Somebody say again tonight, "Thus his father wept for him. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard." Tonight, if I could title this message anything tonight, with the help of the Holy Ghost and the help of this body, I'd like to preach to you on this topic: what to do with a bloody coat. What to do with a bloody coat. If you could lay your Bibles down, let's go ahead and give another hand clap of praise unto the Lord tonight as you're seated. We're going to begin tonight's message with a bloody coat. Some of you are probably sitting there thinking, "What in the world is this guy talking about?" But I promise if you stick with me tonight, I'm going somewhere. By the time in the scripture, the brother of Joseph had already stripped Joseph of his coat of many colors. In Genesis 37 and 23, they are plagued with jealousy. They have already thrown Joseph into a deep, empty pit in verse 24. They had already sold him to the Ishmaelites, who were headed toward Egypt for a handful of silver in verse 28. To conceal what they had done to their brother, scripture tells us in verse 31 that they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. This is what they would use as evidence to convince their father Jacob that Joseph was actually dead. So we pick up in verse 32 as this bloody coat is delivered into the hands of Joseph, Jacob's father, or Joseph's father Jacob. He holds his coat. They say unto him, This hath we found. Know now whether this is your son's coat or no." Here is the evidence being presented unto daddy. And this father takes this bloody coat in his hands, and immediately he remembers the moment that he took this coat and he had put it onto the shoulders of his youngest boy. At that time, Joseph, his boy, was a dreamer. His boy was chosen by God. Understand, Jacob loved Joseph more than all descending, or loved more than all. And we see here so powerful the same one who saw angels ascending and descending at Bethel. Jacob, the one that was a dreamer, now his boy is a dreamer. His boy has big dreams, and he remembers every single dream his boy has dreamt. His boy was a dreamer, was chosen by God, just like Jacob had. But as he examines the coat that he had once gifted to Joseph, his boy, everything just didn't seem, and just seemed so differently. The question that was asked to him awakes every memory and it stirs every emotion. "Is this the coat that belongs to your boy Joseph?" And verse 33 says, "And he knew it and said, 'It's my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him.'" The father knew the coat. The father recognized the coat. He identified it. This was Joseph's coat. And at the end of the verse 33, Jacob says, "Joseph is without doubt rent in two pieces." everything in the man drew to the conclusion that Joseph was dead. Without a doubt, he said, Joseph is dead. Without a doubt, Joseph is dead, and every dream and opportunity to see it come to pass has been killed with him. Without a doubt, it's all over, and this is not the happy ending that Jacob had dreamed about for his son. Watch with me as the tears begin to flow down his face. Watch with me now in verse 34, as daddy's tears, his clothes in grief, or tears his clothes in grief. Watch with me as he puts on sackcloth, and scripture says that he mourns many days. The evidence of this boy's death has driven him to this very place. The bloody coat was pushed him to weeping. Does anybody know what it's like to get bad news that seems so final from hell? This is exactly what it was. The dream that Jacob had once heard his son speak of has turned into an extreme nightmare. As far as Jacob is concerned, does anybody know what it's like to pour into something, believing that something great is going to come out of it, only to end up with a bloody coat in your hand? This is exactly what happened here. This is exactly where his daddy was. He was a very broken man that held a very bloody coat, looking at an absolute hopeless situation. It's in verse 35 that tells us that after many days of their daddy mourning, all of the sons and all of the daughters of Jacob, they come together. They begin to say, hey, listen, he's been crying for a few days now. We have to do something here. We have to try to cooking something. We have to try to get daddy's mind somewhere else. All this has been taking way too long, and all he keeps talking about is his death. I don't know if you realize it, but he won't quit crying. And he's weeping and weeping and weeping. We have to get his mind on something else. We got to get him talking about something else. Maybe we can try something fun, or we can figure out some kind of entertainment. He's been crying for days, and we got to change the subject around here and get his attention somewhere else. Hear me, the kids come together, and they did everything in their power. They tried to wipe his tears, but daddy just won't stop crying. They tried to comfort him. It says in verse 35 that he refused to be comforted. Somebody say, refused to be comforted. He said, for I will go down into the grave unto my son's mourning. His father wept for him. Jacob looks at everybody that's trying to calm him down. Jacob looks at everybody that's trying to tell him just get over it. And he said, I'll stop weeping when I stop breathing. I'm going to go down into my grave weeping about this one. There was something on the inside of Jacob that said, I don't care what anybody else says. I'll weep until I die. He had made up in his mind that he wasn't changing the subject. He's made up in his mind that he wasn't changing his focus. He had made up in his mind that he wasn't going to get over this, but that the tears were just getting started for Jacob. This is where I got to preach about the power of tears for just a moment, because it is this very next verse that we see the writer pin the words speaking of Joseph in verse number 36. And the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guards. This shows us that as a daddy wept, God was still moving Joseph into position. I've got to show you the same scripture to you in the amplified version of the Bible. It reads like this, verse 36, Meanwhile, in Egypt, the Midianites sold Joseph as a slave to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, and the captain of the royal guards. Somebody say, meanwhile. Does anybody know what meanwhile means tonight? Meanwhile means at the same exact time. What it means is at the same time as daddy is weeping, God is working. Hey, let me tell you tonight, Joseph, he was a man that served the Lord. But I want to tell you the greatest thing that Joseph ever had was a daddy that would not stop weeping for him. Because this means that the same time as daddy's tears are flowing, God is working on what looked completely impossible. I'm preaching that Jacob's impossible prayer was fueled with possibility by his tears. Jacob held what seemed to be every bit of evidence. This is complete closure. It's over. This is just a bad report. This is the worst report that he can get. But daddy won't quit crying, so God won't quit working. I want to preach to somebody right now. The power came from when Jacob learned how to keep weeping no matter how much evidence was presented to him. The power came whenever Jacob learned, it don't matter who's going to talk to me. Nobody is going to convince me to quit crying. I got to preach to somebody right now. You got someone on your impossible prayer list. The moment you put them on that list, everything got worse. I want to tell you to keep on crying, Jacob. That's my word here tonight. What do you do with a bloody coat? You keep on weeping over it. What do you do with the bloody coat? You keep on crying. What do you do with the bloody coat when it looks like it can't get any worse? I tell you what you need to do. You need to find a place and you start crying and you start praying. You don't let any voice convince you to stop. Jacob was certain that the dream was dead, but his tears were providing the pathway for the dream to live. Some of the most powerful words in the whole story of Joseph are found in Genesis 37:35. Thus, his father wept for him. Do I have any mothers or daddies in here tonight that's wept for your children? We got to get a hold of this ministry of tears tonight. Somebody lift up your hands and begin to start praying in this place right now. Oh, preacher, you're reaching. Come on, somebody. I'm not reaching, preacher. We're connecting. Listen, we're doing all we can. But I've come to tell you tonight, when you've done all you can do and you don't know what else to do next, the next thing you got to do when you're holding nothing but evidence of what is not going to happen is you got to get to that place of prayer. You got to cry and you got to let those tears begin to work on your behalf. Let me tell you, as far as Jacob is concerned, he has no clue that Joseph is even alive, but daddy won't quit weeping and Joseph won't quit advancing. It was the ministry of tears tonight. You better never underestimate the power of the tears that flows from your eyes. Prayer is not something that we do just before service. Prayer is not just something that we do after service. I'm telling you, prayer is the best program that we have. It's the best program we have. Why? Because I can get to a place of prayer. I can get to a place of prayer that nobody sees me. And when I'm in secret and I'm praying, God, you got to move on them. God, I've tried everything I could. I've called them. I've texted them. And I've done everything that I can do. And it seems like nothing is working. So what I've got to do is get to this place. And I'm just going to weep a while. God, I'm just going to cry for a little while and see if you will move on them. See if you will move on their behalf. And hey, if you will do that, God, if you will do that when somebody and nobody sees, God, will you do the things that you don't even know what is happening? Let me tell you tonight, God was moving Joseph into position to save the world while Jacob was weeping. When the adversary said the dream was dead, it was still living. What do you do with the bloody coat? I'll tell you what you do. You keep on weeping and you keep on praying and you keep on crying and you don't let anything sway you and you don't let anything make you give up. I want to tell you the two most powerful things that change eternities. The two most powerful things that change eternities is the blood that was shed for us and the tears that we shed for others. Something happens when a righteous man, something happens when a righteous woman of God, something happens when a righteous young person begins to weep tonight. Something happens when a woman of God begins to shed tears and cries out in prayer with a loud voice, even though she has all the evidence that her baby is strung out on drugs and probably ain't coming out. I'm telling you, we got to learn how to weep when we get the bad report. We got to learn to cry when what the devil wants you to do tonight, he wants to present you with evidence and then comfort you. My God, I feel like preaching for a moment. It's okay. You can believe for something else. No, there was something on the inside of Jacob that said, nobody, absolutely nobody can stop me from praying. That's what the devil wants to do tonight. The devil wants to comfort you. My Lord, it's Tuesday night. Why don't we just sit and take it easy for tonight? We had a great service on Sunday. Let's sit and take it easy. It's Tuesday night. We all had a long work day. We're all tired, but let's just sit and take it easy tonight. I want to preach to you. We got to keep on a press. We got to keep a prayer. We got to keep an intercession active in this church. We have been pressing and we have been working. Our outreach team has been going out on Saturdays, reaching this community. But there's a soul in the balance, and I can't quit praying and I can't quit working. I wish somebody who has that impossible prayer list would lift it up before the Lord and begin to cry out to the Lord right now. Let me tell somebody right now that's already lost your impossible prayer list. You better come up here before service is over and get another one. You need to fill it out and you need to weep over it. I'm telling you, if you do this, God will begin working in the lives of people. There's something here tonight, and there's somebody here tonight. You're so broken. You're so busted. Oh, your life is a wreck. But I'm telling you, you've walked up in a praying church, and we will pray you through whatever it is. Come on, this is a praying church. This is a weeping church. I've got to preach to you right now. I do not know what your Joseph is tonight, but I've come to tell you what to do about the bloody coat that screams impossibility in your ears. What do you do when you're given a bloody coat? You weep anyway. You cry out anyway. You pray anyway. You don't let bad news deter you and deter your focus, but you learn to weep in the bad news. I'm preaching about the relationship that has been drained of every hope of life or restoration. Keep on weeping, Jacob. Keep on weeping, Jacob. I'm preaching about the loved one that has been lost. You heard they were in a deep pit somewhere, and you haven't seen a glimpse of promise since. Keep on weeping, Jacob, and the dream will come, and it will still be alive. I've come to preach about the dream tonight, the dream that you once had a grasp on that now feels about 300 miles away. That's how far that they took Joseph, 300 miles away. Keep on praying and keep on weeping. Listen to this preacher. The more Jacob wept, the more Joseph advanced in the process of his dream. Jacob could not see what was happening, but his tears were impacting the story. As Jacob wept, Joseph progressed. He would make it to Egypt and connect with a man with great power named Potiphar. Somebody say, meanwhile. As he is weeping, connections are being made. I'm telling you, the ministry of tears to what you do will change the things that you do not see. Potiphar would put him in prison after a false accusation. And Joseph would then meet the butler, who would, after many years, connect Joseph to Potiphar or to Pharaoh. All along, Daddy is still weeping. Keep weeping, Daddy. Your tears are the pathway that is sending and connecting your Joseph to destiny. Jacob had been deceived into believing it was all over and that his boy was dead, but he did not buy into the voices that offered him the comfort. I want to preach to you about the best thing that you can do with an impossible prayer. The best thing that you can do with an impossible prayer is weep over it day after day after day after day. Regardless of the news that you receive, it's not going to affect my tears. They're just going to keep on flowing. Because as you are in the position of weeping, God is in the position of moving. I've not come to preach long tonight, but I've come to tell somebody that in that old scripture, Psalms 126:5, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Let me tell you, we're going to go out and we're going to sow in the fields. We're going to go out and we are going to reap. The outreach team's doing a great job of sowing in the fields, and I believe we're going to reap of that, but we still have to sow in tears. We have to sow in tears tonight, church. There's got to be something that rises up in us. Oh, it was Jeremiah. It was Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet tonight. He said, "Oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slaying to the daughters of my people." I want to tell you tonight, the prophet understood the power of his tears. I've come to preach to somebody. What do you do? What to do when you don't know what to do? What to do when you don't know what to do? You get to that place and pray until you break through. When once you break through, you mark that moment as your starting point of your prayer meeting. The moment you break through, that moment you find that moment in intercession, the moment you feel, oh, I just tapped into eternity, that's when the prayer meeting starts. And there are many people that pray and they pray until they touch God. I remember growing up, my grandmother, we would be at her house. And a lot of you know that I lived with grandma most of my life because I didn't ever want to go home. But there was nights that we would go to the church, Pastor, and there was a group of women that they would go into a prayer room. And they would kneel down at an altar. And they would begin to pray, and they would pray, and they would weep, and they would weep, and they would pray, and they would pray. You know why? Because they wanted to tap in into the intercession that God had for them. Come on, somebody. I want you to grasp this tonight. When you tap into the intercession, that's when your prayer meeting needs to begin. Don't pray until you touch God. You got to pray after you touch God. Because after you touch God and you get to that place where the tears start flowing, honey, that's when the prayer meeting starts. If the musicians could come quickly as you stand all over this house tonight. I'm telling you, the people that think we're crazy when we're getting a little beside ourselves and we begin to let God take control and you can't sit still in your seat and you begin to speak in a heavenly language. Sometimes it wasn't the song that did it. Sometimes it wasn't the message that did it. Sometimes it's Sister Kristen. Never held a microphone before in this place, but praising the Holy Ghost. Man, I'm preaching to something in this place tonight. I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you what production can't do. I'm telling you what screens can't do. I'm telling you what perfect schedules can't do, but the Holy Ghost can do. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Somebody, you got to get a little bit beside yourself. You got to get caught up in this stuff. I know Sunday, it's a really hard as a musician, and I'm sure every person on this platform can attest to this. But when you're up here, it's hard to just sit your musician or your instrument down or your microphone down and get a little bit beside yourself and get a little dancing going or a little bit of praying going. I'm preaching to somebody right now. Tonight, you got to get a little bit beside yourself. I promise the person sitting next to you don't care what you're doing. They're not paying attention to you. Come on, tonight, you've been comforted. You've been so comforted. It's Tuesday night. Let's get a little comfortable. No, sir. I refuse to get comforted because I've been given a bloody coat tonight. I've been given a bloody coat. I can't afford to have an off service. I can't afford to have a service that I just kick back in my seat. Why? Because there's blood that's dripping off of my hands tonight. Then the devil says it's over, but somewhere 300 miles. Come on, honey. I don't even see it. I don't even know how it can even happen, but 300 miles if I'll just sweep a while. 300 miles from where God's going to be working on my behalf. We got to get back tonight, church. I'm telling you, the minute that someone begins to speak in tongues, this place goes up in absolute smoke. Victory starts happening everywhere in this place. God have mercy on us. Pastor ever tries to figure out if he is going to preach or not some Sundays. Thank God for somebody. Thank God for somebody that refuses to be comforted tonight. Absolutely love all of this. But if we keep excellence and lose intensity, we have absolutely lost. I'm going to say that again tonight. If we keep excellence, but we lose intensity, come on, somebody, you got to wake it up into you tonight. Wake it up in you, prayer warrior. Wake something up into you tonight. Oh, God, there's a soul that's depending on my tears. There's a soul depending on my prayer tonight. If I get so polished that I can't even begin to cry, I'm telling you tonight, you're a little too polished. I want somebody to lift your hands all over this place where you're at tonight. I want you to focus your mind on that soul that you've been praying for. I want you to focus your mind. Come on, somebody. You've been handed a bloody coat tonight. It don't look no better. It don't look no better tonight. Come on. You've been praying for weeks and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better. What do you do tonight? I tell you what you do. You get up out of your seat right now and focus your mind on them. Call out their name until you feel a touch from heaven. And don't let the Holy Ghost, and let the Holy Ghost speak through you tonight. I know I haven't preached long tonight, but we're going to take a few moments. We're going to turn this place into a Holy Ghost prayer meeting. Come on, somebody, don't wait on the first chord to be played. Don't wait for the first note or the first word of the song to be played. Begin to pray all over this house tonight. Some of you have been looking at the situation for far too long. God, what do I do when it seems like it gets worse? You turn on the tears, honey. Preacher, what do I do tonight when I've been praying for somebody and they go to jail and it gets worse? You keep on praying, honey. Preacher, what do I do tonight when I go to the doctor and I'm handed a bloody coat? Come on, somebody, you keep on praying. You keep on praying. Mommy, you keep on praying. Daddy, come on, they're gonna give us some prayer music tonight. And I'm asking every musician, as you're playing tonight, I want you to pray as well. I know some of us are a little weary, but we need you to weep just a little bit, just for a little while tonight. If you're able to, I want you to make your way to the front of this place. I believe there's somebody in here tonight dealing with the situation. And if you just believe, if you just begin to let them Jacob tears flow, I believe that situation's going to change. God, I know there's somebody in this city. I know there's somebody in this city that they have absolutely no hope. God, they're lost. God, they're walking on the edge of hell tonight. God, I'm crying out for a soul tonight. We refuse to be comforted. We refuse to sit in place of comfort. We refuse tonight. We refuse tonight. We absolutely refuse. Come on, BBA. I want you to get comfortable. Get out of your seat and let's turn on this whole place into a prayer room tonight. Somebody find a corner to pray. Somebody walk these aisles. Somebody fall flat on your face and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm telling you, God, as we weep, God begins to work. As we weep, God works. And as we weep tonight, God is still working. God, I've been so frustrated, I don't feel like I can get back to you. I've been so frustrated, I feel like this situation, I can't get it to break. I'm telling you, if you let it break in prayer first, God will do something on your behalf. What do I do with the bloody coat tonight? Weep a little while. Weep a little while. Weep a little while. Come on. You're here tonight and you need prayer yourself. If you're in this place tonight and you need God to do something in your life, make your way to the front of this place tonight. You come to the right place tonight. If you come up to this place and to the front of this place and you begin to lift your hands, we'll have people pray for you. I'm giving you a free invitation right now to anybody in here. It won't cost you nothing other than the tears tonight. If you're the prayer request tonight, come on up into the front of this place. Begin to lift your hands and we'll turn this place into a prayer room tonight. As the singers go ahead and start singing this song tonight.